For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood.
The owner of the bowling alley put a sign in the window saying, "Members only." It was like waving a red flag in front of the students.
Civil rights activist Cleveland Sellers of Denmark reflected on a night that many consider a stain on South Carolina's reputation that remains after five decades. On February 8, 1968, three South Carolina State College students were killed and 27 others wounded by state highway patrolmen in what is now known as the Orangeburg Massacre. Sellers was on the campus that night, as was journalist Jack Bass, who added his recollection to Sellers's.
The patrolmen were right on the edge of the campus at this time. Students were all in the interior, and they were yelling and carrying on a little bit. And one of the patrolmen then fired his gun, and the other started shooting. So by the end, you ended up with three killed that night and 28 others wounded.
Samuel Hammond Jr., Delano Middleton, and Henry Smith lost their lives in the tragedy, which sprang from student protests over the segregation of Orangeburg's only bowling alley. Bass said the patrolmen acted contrary to standard procedures for crowd control.
The patrolmen were trained by some FBI agents. It was as a special group, and they were poorly trained. They were told that if they believed their life or a fellow officer's life was in danger, they could shoot. One of the officers fired what he intended as warning shots, and then everybody started shooting.
Sellers said he was on campus trying to talk to the students to avoid conflict with the nervous patrolmen.
We needed to move the group because it was an open field. There was nothing to protect themselves. And I could see down at the bottom of the hill police officers, and they had their guns drawn. But when I got to the group, that's when the firing started up, and it was just popping and shooting. You could smell the gunfire. And I got hit. I could also hear the students saying, "Help me, I've been hit, I'm shot." Me and some of the other students who weren't wounded that badly just drug them over to the infirmary.
The patrolmen claimed they fired because they felt their lives were threatened. It is one of several misunderstandings that need clearing up, said Sellers.
One is the students were on their campus. Two, there was not an exchange of gunfire. Three, most of the students were shot in the back because as soon as they heard the first shot go off, they turned to go away from them.
Sellers believes Governor Robert McNair didn't do enough to find out what was going on at Orangeburg.
He should have intervened. He should have made some kind of contact with the people who were on the ground in Orangeburg. They didn't communicate with anybody. And when it came time, somebody shot and you're on again. So you're not prepared.
Bass agreed, saying there were things the governor could have done to defuse the situation.
I think one thing he could have done was come to the campus and sort of address the students and saying the courts are going to handle this and they're going to handle it properly. And I urge all of you just to go back to class now. And I think that would have had a very much of a calming effect.
Both men said the state has never done an investigation of any sort, but that there still needs to be one. Bass said it would help close old wounds.
I think if they did it, I think it could just be sort of a healing moment. And I think everybody would end up, okay, it's part of our history and part of our past, and we've dealt with it effectively.
Bass said if the legislature were to investigate, it would be applauded. Sellers believes that if Orangeburg had been prevented, it would also have prevented the later shootings at Kent State University. This report also can be heard on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood.